The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good morning to you and welcome to the Health Hub Inside the Human
Hi.
Impact. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Well, I'm always excited to chat with you.
Mm-hmm. So how to put it? I'm in a grateful space, but at the same time, empathetic towards our brothers and sisters in Jamaica.
Yes,
still feeling a kind of a tension as to how, you know, this thing with Venezuela and the United States.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. I guess the relief comes in talking about food.
Yes. Always excited to talk about food.
Yeah.
Definitely. But definitely still worried and concerned with everything else that's happening for sure.
Yeah.
And how it will impact us in the long run and what that's going to mean for our food and the economy and everything.
And nutrition, because a lot of the things and items that you spoke about just last week in terms of superfoods, you know, it comes from Jamaica's table. And, you know, in terms of produce and trade and all of that. What are we going to talk about today, girl? I mean,
well,
it's
the end of October.
Yes.
And going into November. And then, of course, December is right around the corner. And, you know, Christmas eating and all of that is going to happen. But November is actually focused on diabetes awareness. So I wanted to just touch on diabetes, the different types, so how it's diagnosed, what it really means to be diabetic, because I don't know if everyone is aware of it. I think they know that, okay, well, they heard the term before or a family member has it, but what does it actually mean? And how does it actually impact your body's health, your quality of life, your work, your family life, your income, your expenses, because having this lifestyle disease, having this chronic disease, it's really something that's actually very common. I mean, we don't have much statistics in Trinidad in terms of like a one in every how much people, but in the US it's an average of like one in every three. And I think that we have similar traits as the US in terms of our eating habits and our lifestyle. So we could probably say the same average for trainees, because I'm sure that everyone knows someone who is diabetic. So in terms of what it actually means, it's basically a condition where your body cannot regulate blood sugars. That's the whole problem. It's too much sugar in your blood. And normally there's sugar is needed in your blood. It is necessary for your organs to function. But there's something called too much and there's something called too little. And that's why, too, when you just pop a pill or take insulin and it drops too low, it is just as dangerous as it being too high. Because when it's also too low, you could go into a coma, you could have crashes, and too low is anywhere below 60, right? Well,
sorry to interrupt, but I've not thought of it in that perspective. Always hearing, well, too much sugar is bad for you, but low sugar, I've heard about it. You probably get faint and you could probably drink some juice or something and then it goes back up. But let's go there first, because the too much sugar part, we know that is part of our like psyche at the moment. But on the other side, how does that present and what does it mean when you have low sugar?
Yeah, it's really, really dangerous. And here's how it comes about, right? Because let's say you're diagnosed, you're anti-doctor, you're diagnosed. Now you have either type 1, which is where you're basically, it's genetic, you're born with it. Your body cannot produce insulin, which is the hormone that helps to regulate blood sugars normally. So that hormone helps to keep sugars within the healthy range, right? So your brain and your organs, everything's happy. Type 2 and gestational is during pregnancy. And type 2 is basically insulin resistance. So that one, I think a lot of us heard that term already too. And again, it's basically your body's creating the insulin, but it can't use it properly. So when, let's say you're diagnosed and then you're given meds or you're given insulin and you're not really sure how to use it alongside your eating habits, sometimes, and I think a lot of diabetics listening probably already felt this, it drops too low because they tend to fear the high values And then they tend to fear and say, okay, well, I don't want my sugars to be elevated too high, so I'm just going to take the insulin or take the drugs. And they don't even double check the impact on their blood sugars, and they just take the meds without even eating. And then if you do that, it's really dangerous. And then when it drops too low, they end up eating candies and drinking soft drinks and juice and very high sugary things, which will then spike back your sugars again, and then you're in a never-ending cycle. Highs, take drugs, lows. Eat again, highs, take drugs, lows. And it's like, you just keep spiraling.
What kind of effect does it have on the body when you have low blood sugar? Does it affect your kidneys and so on as high blood sugar does?
Exactly, good question. So there, of course, are certain ranges that would, and it's really because a lot of people don't really understand that when they do blood works, it's important to not only check for your HbA1c, which tells you like over a period of 3 months how your blood sugars are regulating. So it's a better value rather than the finger prick day by day. It tells your overall scale. But checking your kidney functionality is very important when you are diabetic, because the side effects of the drugs is damaging. And then the extremely high or extremely low values is also damaging, because the kidneys are very tiny little blood vessels. And again, when it's too high, when it's too low, your body is like, when it's too low, your body is just like not getting the nutrients that it needs when it needs it. So, you know, like a car with gas, and when the gas tank is going on, no, it's like, yeah, okay, it's not gonna work. Right? So it's kind of the same concept. You need to maintain healthy ranges, because it really does affect it. But not only your kidneys, it actually affects other organs as well, like your heart, like your eyes. And that's why a lot of people have eye damage. And then you don't even know that you're diabetic. You just see that, because remember, you don't get like real signs and symptoms that could say, hey, you definitely have diabetes. It's not like that. So sometimes it's just a random test. And you might be seeing blurry and thinking, oh, well, it's just age, or maybe I just need to get glasses now and this point in my life. And then when you go and you do a test for blood sugars, you realize, oh, my goodness, I'm diabetic and my eyes are blurry because my sugars are elevated. So it also affects your eyes. It also affects your organs. It affects wound healing. It affects your heart. It affects the nerves. So that's why a lot of people have foot amputations, because when it comes to your feet, tiny little blood vessels again, and because you don't know that you have a cut, because there's always numbness when it comes to like diabetes and nerves in your feet. You don't ever feel that you have a little cut or something like that, and then it gets infected and then it spreads. And then it's a lot of drama. And that's how you get like the foot amputations. And that's why foot care is so important as well with diabetes. And making sure that you double check your foot to make sure you don't have any cuts or bruises that you really are not going to feel, because the sensations are completely lost in your feet.
And that is, as you said, comes from nerve damage. Now, you said something about your eyes. Is it the increase in pressure that gives the eyes the problem when you have low blood sugar and high blood sugar diabetes?
Because you see, again, every organ and every part of your body needs sugars to give your body energy and to give your body to help your body to function effectively. Right? So sugar is our base. So it's not that, and I know that when everyone is diagnosed with diabetes, they're like, oh gosh, I have to cut out sugar. I'm not eating sugar ever again, you know, but it's not like that. You have to eat, but again, it's about the balance. But yeah, when you have eye damage, because it's tiny blood vessels, like when you think of your veins and your arteries and how it's spread out into your body, it everything that comes to the surface leads to very, very tiny. It's like a large pipe going into small, tiny little pipes, you know, to fuel different areas of your house, for example. So it's like that in a sense. It's very tiny blood vessels, and that's why it's so easy to damage it. It's very, very easy to get damaged and could cause leakiness and different fluids to retain in certain areas that it should not be. And then vessels could close off. And it's just a lot of blockages that could also happen because, again, if you have like a lot of sugar, and it's not catered to carry so much sugar or to hold so much sugar, it could kind of like cause a clog, and it could cause blockages, and then that could then lead to damage, and then that could then lead to blood vessels bursting, you know. So it's really all connected, and the safest thing to do is to just get your sugars down to normal and keep it normal. Because once your values are in safe ranges, and don't guess, you have to check it. I think that too much times, because it's so common for everyone in Trinidad to be diagnosed with diabetes. Well, not every single person, but it's a common thing. It's very highly neglected, like explaining exactly how you should use the drugs, how you should be eating alongside the meds, if that's the route that you want to take, how you should be checking up on your numbers to make sure that it's not extremely high, it's not extremely low, how you should be able to adjust the meds now if you are getting too much lows because you changed eating habits and now your sugars are better managing itself because you're not eating the same way. So there's a lot of education that is needed, and it is not being done, because all of this damage that we're talking about with our bodies that is happening every single day to people who have uncontrolled diabetes, highs and lows, it could be avoided. It really could be avoided, and you could save your eyes, you could save your kidneys, you could save your feet, you could prevent the foot amputations, you could save your heart, you could save every single organ that is going to be negatively impacted by the highs and the lows with blood sugars just by learning how to eat better. So all that blurry vision and all that fear of, oh no, well, I know my mom had this and this is what happened to her, and her foot, she lost her foot and she lost her eyes and she got blind eventually, and oh gosh. And then of course you basically project the fears that you had for her onto yourself because now you are diagnosed with diabetes. But the truth is, I think that something that's amazing about lifestyle diseases is that it is reversible.
Well, I was now about to jump in and remind you that this is something that you say often within your show, that these things are reversible. Now, someone who's listening and saying, well, you know, I've probably been this close to amputating a toe or amputating the foot, as you say, I have blurry vision, and hearing your message saying that it can be reversed. How do you do that? Because as you say, the fear and the projection of it, you know, you would think, well, I really can't do nothing about it. So, you know, let me just continue on the way.
It's such a sad thing to think because, I mean, it's reversed. You know, I just feel like so confused when everybody says that it can't be reversed. But let's go back to the type. So, of course, with type 1, it's not reversible because with this, you could better manage it with your eating habits. It's just that you still have to be dependent on the insulin, right? Because you have to be insulin dependent if your body's not creating the insulin. So that's different. The ones that are reversible is type 2 and gestational. So type 2 is the insulin resistance. So that's directly impacted by your eating habits. A lot of the cases with type 2 is because the visceral fat around your organs is extremely high. And that is where the problem comes up. Because when you have a lot of visceral fat, which is basically internal organ fat, it means that your body, like the way that your organs function, it's not going to be able to function effectively anymore. And the best way to get that under control is getting the visceral fat down, which again is not from a gimmick. It's not from like you just thinking that you need to cut out carbs and cut out sugar and you could never eat sugar again. That's impossible. Your body will malfunction if you don't have sugar. It's a complete myth. It's not about cutting out, it's about better balancing. So even if you have type 1, it's still important to seek advice to make sure that you don't get lows, because even with type 1, it's even a little more detrimental, because once you inject yourself with that insulin and your sugars drop very low very fast, yeah, that is very dangerous if you don't have any sort of sweetener that, you know, you could consume immediately. Whereas type 2, it's like, your body could naturally regulate your blood sugars again. It's just the eating habits. So sticking to the first change, of course, is going to be the carbs. Now, something that we have to understand is that when it comes to the carbs and the carbs that we consume, it's not that you have to eliminate it. And it's not that you could never eat refined carbs again. It is, though, that the balances and the combinations with the carbs is what's important, and timing is what's important too. So there's no intermittent fasting going on with me. There's no keto diets going on here. I don't recommend those things, and none of my clients need to stick to a diet sheet, because what I do is educate all my clients and empower them on food balance, timing, so that they could eat for their bodies. So this is not about, okay, what works for one person should work for the rest. No, it's never going to be that way, because every single one of us is different, right? So when it comes to the carbs, yes, combinations of the carbs is important. So we have a lot of ground provision in Trinidad and Tobago. Ground provision is wonderful. And like we spoke about the different ways that carbs spike your sugars last week, like the refined carbs with the different types of rice and the different types of provision, these potato and sweet potato, and the glycemic index and the rate at which it spikes, which is great. And then I still said that portion control is important. So it is about how much you have. Now, when you are taking meds and you still want to eat the same way, you still have to make sure that you check your numbers. Don't neglect that, because I'm telling you, once you start to make lifestyle changes, your numbers drop to normal pretty quickly. And that's how I help my clients to reverse it and wean off of the medication. And then they go back to their doctors, they have their blood checks, and they confirm that, hey, what did you do? Like, how did you get perfect values? I mean, was it the medication? And they're like, no, I wasn't taking the medication. I was actually making a lifestyle change. And then it's like this whole epiphany that, wow, eating habits could actually get your values down to normal and you don't need medication anymore. So complex carbs is very good, but it's what you eat it with. So a perfect plate, for example, let's say we're going into lunch today and you want to make sure you balance your meal. You have your complex carbs or refined and complex, however you prefer it. Like if you take some macaroni pie and you take some stewed chicken and then you take some kalaloo, that's actually a perfect meal. You know, we have such beautiful dishes. You have your pilau, you have your coleslaw. You know, it's like these are lovely meals, and then you just have to make sure that the balance is there with the portion control. So the coleslaw has to basically be quite a lot compared to the pilau. Or the same, like visually on your plate, I don't want it to be a little chunky piece on the side. No. Because remember, the veggie load is what's going to help to reduce the sugar spikes from whatever you eat. So the veggie load slows down digestion and helps to slow down your rate of absorption into your blood. So you still have to eat your carbs. And you could still mix the refined and complex, because both of those things that I called out just now are refined carbs. Macaroni is not a complex and rice is not a complex. But when you have it with the combinations and your veggies and your protein, that helps to reduce the sugar spike. The higher the fiber, the better. Right. And then, of course, with gestational, when you're pregnant, you don't want to be taking those medication, because everything that you take is going to affect your baby as well. So I think it's so unfortunate when you have just a lot of people who are just have gestational diabetes and they don't seek advice from dietitians or registered dietitians. It's difficult because then they don't know how to balance, and I don't want you to feel like you have to suffer during your pregnancy. You should feel happy about eating and enjoying your pregnancy, yeah, and just understanding how to create a better balanced meal so that your baby doesn't suffer and you don't suffer, you know, because there's a lot of risk as well when you have gestational diabetes. Because if your sugars are elevated, then in your baby's development, when your baby is now getting from you food, basically, the sugars are going into your baby, and then the baby has to create a lot more insulin, and then that's why they have like larger babies. So then you
the 10 pounders, listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just thinking about, anyway, let's get back to happy thoughts. As you mentioned, gestational diabetes, I thought of children as well. Is it the same application for kids? Because, you know, children don't like to eat, you know, the ground provisions and the vegetables and so on. How do you get a child to adjust their diet to help cure, as you say, or to change the appearance of diabetes?
Yeah, very good question. Because, and again, it's what we give to them. Because remember, growing up, they don't know how anything tastes unless they taste it. If you understand what I mean. So, like, if no one ever drank soft drinks, then it wouldn't be like, yeah, I want a soft drink today. No, they don't know about it. They don't want to taste it. So it's not that you can't introduce it to your kids, but you should introduce the local fruits, the local veg. Try some smoothies. Try some... like different fun ways to present the food to the kids so that they tell you how they like it, and that will encourage them to then eat it. Because the truth is, kids do like veggies. It's just that it's how it's prepared and how it's presented to them, and then including them in the process. Okay, well, how would you like your carrots today? Do you want it grated? Do you want it mixed into the cheese paste? Do you want it as sticks with a dip? You know, like, it's how do you want it in shapes, like stars or smiley faces? It's always important to include them so that they could then tell you, and that will mean then that the chances of them bringing it back home is very little, because then they include it in the process and they tell you exactly how they want it to be included and how they want to eat it. Of course, it's then risky because kids share, and then if one kid sees another kid eating something like chocolate and they don't want to have that instead of eating it, I know it's like a real challenge, but still including it and asking them how they would enjoy it and making sure that they have that color and that variety every day is important. And even if they don't eat it in the school, encouraging them when they get home to have it and you actually having it too with them is another great way, because they lead by example. If they see you consuming other things and then you're telling them that they have to eat something else and they're like, but they want to eat what you eat, it's kind of unfair, you know? So it's good to also try to encourage them and eat in the same way so that you could show them that you are also eating these fun things and it also tastes good in the ways that they want to include it. But definitely kids are at risk. So a lot of people think that these lifestyle diseases are age-related. They think that, okay, well, I'm fine until maybe 50 or 60. And the truth is that there are a lot of cases now where people in their 30s have high blood cholesterol, diabetes, people in their 20s, teenagers, and kids. It's because, again, a lifestyle disease is lifestyle-created. It is not something that you're born with. It's not something that you just develop randomly because you're aging. It's something that develops over time because of your eating habits. So if you don't balance correctly, if you don't hydrate your body, if you don't sleep, if you have a lot of stress and you don't do checks to make sure that your values are within safe ranges, then your risk for lifestyle diseases go up. And it's a very important to understand that it's not about age. It's not that, well, you have to just, you know, go away, eat and exercise and think you could outrun a bad diet or just say, no, I'm young, so I could burn this KFC out or this gyros or this pizza or, you know, whatever fast foods we eat every single day. It's like we really need to pay attention to how we balance it and what we include in our bodies, because remember, you are what you eat. So every single thing you do on a daily is either taken away from your health or adding to it. So, of course, it's better if you add to it. You know?
Yeah, rather than take away. I've got a voice note here coming in. Good morning. I'm hoping that it is for the Health Hub. But I know that a lot of people have been sending in, you know, wishes and so on for Jamaica. So let's see what this one is.
Good morning, Tosca. This is Alan. It's not a matter that we have to think about ourselves. We have to help our brothers and sisters in Jamaica.
Yep, so that is about Jamaica. But if you have any questions for the Health Hub, you could send in your messages as well. Let's see if this one is. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tosca. Your guest, Miss Mrs. Khan, since she's in the business of educating and so on and advising, I mean, not everyone is going to be her client, but this is a public forum for discussing, and she's in the business of educating. I'd like for her to educate the public on the metabolic or physiological role of insulin and the cells, and talk about what causes the cells to refuse insulin when insulin comes knocking to deliver the glucose into the cells. That will educate a lot of people, give them a much better perspective, because not everyone checks their blood sugar or not everyone can be her client. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's a very important fact, and very unfortunate that not everyone can be my client, because I really wish that everyone could, because you really do not have to live with a lifestyle disease. You don't. No one should be living and suffering with a lifestyle disease. So it's really, really unfortunate that a lot of people are in that situation. But definitely insulin resistance, right? So that comes up with the type 2 and gestational. And that's basically how your body is taking the sugars out of your blood and sending it to wherever it needs to go and taking it into the cells. And that is completely right. There is refusal. And that's why it's called the insulin resistance. So your body is still producing it, but then your cells are not able to utilize it. And it comes back to the visceral fat that I was talking about earlier, because once you have excess amount of fat around your organs or excess amount of fat around your body, it really prevents and blocks the effects of insulin. It really helps. So in other words, too much fat around your organs is going to prevent your body from taking in the glucose and helping your body to regulate your blood sugar levels. It's really going to prevent that. And I know that a lot of cases, you know, it discusses like exercise and movement, and physical movement is extremely important. But people could exercise and still have diabetes and still have insulin resistance because they didn't correct the foundation to their health, which is their nutrition. And then when you consume way too much refined carbs, like if it's like soft drinks every day, and you know, yeah, which honestly I used to do. No, the truth is when I was young, I mean, I didn't have the education. I didn't know what I was doing.
I just find it expensive to be drinking soft drink every day. Yeah, no, long time. Long time there used to be variations, and even the smaller ones are what? $3, $5. Now you spend $5 every single day. You know, it adds up.
It really does. But it is like, it is a hype in terms of it makes you seem like you could afford a soft drink. You know, in a sense like that, I think people think of it differently. Because when I was small, I mean, it was basically the drink that you would have when you eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go anywhere and that's what you're paired with. So it's sort of taught to you from young too that is what you should be consuming. And then, of course, too much refined sugar will then affect the way that your cells work because it is going to damage it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, stress, which is something that all of us have. And right now, I think all of us are really stressed out with everything that's happening. So finding ways to manage the stress and getting stress down to normal is important too, whether it's playing with your pets, walking them, going outside, tending to your garden, getting some vitamin D from the sunlight, watching funny videos, watching movies, talking to your friends, talking to your family, trying your best to find some sort of emotional support. It's very important to at least try to get your stress hormones down. And the most important is sleep. Mm. Like, I was looking at my past clients like last year. I was just curious as comparing last year and this year, right? And all of them, no one is getting sufficient sleep. And that impacts the way that your organs and your body functions. when because it increases the stress hormones, which then cycles back. So when you lack sleep, that means you don't get 7 to 8 hours every single day, and it's not a good quality sleep. It is going to put your risk for diabetes and insulin resistance higher than the average person. So something as simple as sleep deprivation can increase your risk. It will alter your metabolism, and it will, it could create insulin resistance.
Yeah. What about medications as well? Would it cause resistance to those other medications? So let's say you have a double whammy. Let's say you have heart conditions along with diabetes. Is there that consideration you need to take in as well?
Well, I think that certain medications can cause or worsen it. I definitely think that. And, you know, we never look at the side effects. Mm-hmm. When you because at those cases that you're talking about where you have to be on a medication, the side effects are the least of your concern. You just want to make sure the medication helps you with whatever problem you're trying to solve right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's going to prevent it. It's just going to help you to manage it. But the side effects, which, yes, could lead to other health issues and even organ damage and eventually organ failure, is overlooked. It's definitely overlooked. And you know how tiny those things are written?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you need a magnifying glass to
yeah, they don't want you to see it. Yep.
Yeah. It's so bad because it's to your detriment long term. And to the average person, they're just going to take it because they're not reading that, and they're not really truly understanding what they're taking, why they're taking it, how it impacts their body long term, what does it mean for them. They're just taking it because it's given to them as a choice to take for whatever problem they think they're trying to be helped with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, drugs, medication, and that's why I help my clients to wean off of all of the medication. Because, I mean, in this healthcare system that we have, right, I know that, I mean, I wish that everybody could come to me because it prevents your need for all of the medical expenses because of the health issue. Because if you don't have diabetes anymore, then you don't have to go to do all these lab tests. You don't have to go to the pharmacies. You don't have to go to the doctors. You don't have to get prescriptions. You don't have to be dependent on drugs. You just need to live your life and eat.
And don't we want to do that? We've got about 4 minutes to 10 o'clock. Quickly, a voice note in. And, of course, you could give your information. So for those who are interested, they can come to your office, all right? This is a voice note. Good morning.
Hi, morning. Could you explain to me what's the difference or what causes high, well, we know high blood pressure, but low blood pressure? And the dangers of low blood pressure. You know, what is high blood pressure? What causes it? And as particularly as it pertains to diabetics. Thank you.
Your need for...
Morning, doctor. Again, just one other thing. You mentioned, like, vitamins, supplements. For example, I would take, like, garlic pills. I would take something like Pharmaton or similar, PharmaPF. 1,000 milligrams vitamin C, calcium with magnesium every single day. I know you mentioned it's better to take it the natural things like fruits and vegetables, which I do, and nuts, etc. But can this cause damage, or is just not as effective as the natural vitamins and minerals that you get from fruits and vegetables?
Nice. Great topics to talk about. And we might have to break it up a little bit. But basically, with the first one, the low blood pressure is just as dangerous again as the high. And it could be dependent on a lot of factors and maybe nutrient deficiencies, because if you have like anemia, your blood is not being formed in the right way. I mean, low blood pressure is something that you would definitely have to see exactly what is your root cause, because it could be a deficiency or some sort of blood loss somewhere. I don't know. It really depends, but low is definitely just as dangerous as high. But I know that anemia and low iron in your blood is going to affect it, because remember, what the blood is made up of is what you have to then look at, what exactly is lacking. And usually it would be a nutrient deficiency. The second one was really good too. What was that again?
Okay, I'll play it quickly. We have less than a minute, but yeah.
Your need for
morning, doctor. Again, just one other thing. You mentioned like vitamins, supplements. For example, I would take like garlic pills. I would take something like Pharmaton or similar, PharmaPF, 1,000 milligrams vitamin C, calcium with magnesium every single day. I know you mentioned it's better to take it, the natural things like fruits and vegetables, which I do, and nuts, etc. But can this cause damage, or is just not as effective as the natural vitamins and minerals that you get from fruits and vegetables?
Yes. So we could, thanks for replaying.
Yeah.
So we could probably use that topic next week, but briefly, I think that it's about overconsumption, because remember, it could still be toxic in your body. So when you eat it, when the fruits and the veg and the natural sources, why do you have to then force your body to then supplement something that you don't need? It just doesn't make sense. And overconsumption of it is a risk. So just if you have diabetes, there's no need to fear, okay? Type 1 is when you're born. Type 2 gestational, you could reverse. And all of it could be better managed with your eating habits. Type 1, you definitely need to take insulin. Body nutrition could help you to reduce your units, so there's less expense to the diabetes that you have. And then type 2 and gestational, you could completely reverse that with nutrition. So if this is something you're interested in, then WhatsApp us at 480-5380. So that's our business number, 480-5380. My virtual assistant, Kafsa, could definitely give you all the information that you need. Or you could check us out at 98 Kearney Savannah Road, Charleville, at Didi's Healthy Living Cafe, where we have herbal teas, honey, recipe books, nutritious treats, meals, everything. You could definitely try to smoothies that will not spike your blood sugars, and you could definitely fuel your body and find out more information there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for today. Next week is another one, and I will remember supplements next time. Yeah?
Yes, we will. Yes. Thank you so much.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.